caught the next train for Paris, travelling via Rennes. After Rennes, the compartment was empty except for a little old nun huddled in the corner like a bundle of black rags, her veiled head bent low over a prayer book, bent so low that her nose almost touched the pages. He smoked and watched the Breton scenery passing by, woods, lakes, streams, apple orchards, stone farmhouses embedded for centuries in the landscape, cows grazing, tethered goats, and then dozed for a while. When he woke up later, they were on the outskirts of Paris. The nun had put away her prayer book and was sitting with her gnarled hands folded neatly in her lap. Her face was pale as parchment and webbed with fine lines. He smiled at her.
"It seems not many of us are in a hurry to go to Paris these days, sister."
She looked at him serenely.
"I go where God sends me, monsieur."
At the Gare Montparnasse, he had to elbow his way through a huge crowd of people fighting to board trains to Brittany. The mood was close to panic, and, he thought, ugly. Insults hurled, blows struck, no quarter given. He took the metro to Monceau and walked across the park towards the Rue de Monceau. The trees and grass were a fresh, new green, the sky blue, the sun shining, the air pleasantly warm. Paris was looking her best, which made her present situation all the more tragic, all the more terrible, and all the harder to bear. There were no young lovers entwined on benches or lying on the grass, only one woman out with her poodle. He admired her as he passed, not beautiful but very elegantly dressed, with a charmingly provocative little hat tilted over her brow. Even the dog, trotting along beside her in a jewelled collar, had style. Otherwise the park was deserted. The Rue de Monceau was also empty, except for a Citroën parked at the curbside halfway down. He opened the outer door to the apartment building and went into the sunless courtyard with its row of metal mailboxes against the wall. Before he had reached the staircase beyond, the glass door to the concierge's flat had opened.
"Monsieur Duval?"
He turned.
"As you can see, Madame Bertrand, it's me."
"One cannot be too careful these days."
"No, indeed. I might have been a German. Madame Duval is at home?"
"I believe so."
She would know so. No one passed her glass door going in or coming out without her noticing.
"How is your husband?"
"Poorly. It's his liver again. Another crisis."
Monsieur Bertrand's liver had given trouble for years and been the subject of much discussion. But now Duval could not afford the time to stop and listen to the latest state of affairs. He went on up the stairs to the first floor, knowing that the old woman would be watching him every step of the way, her nose questing upwards inquisitively like a bird's beak. He still had his own key, but out of politeness, he rang the bell at the apartment door. Simone opened it. Almost a year had passed since they had met. Time improved her looks rather than the reverse, he thought. She was one of those rare women who grew in attraction with maturity. In spite of the thickening waistline, the little crow's feet round the eyes, the sprinkling of grey hairs. And she knew how to choose and wear clothes. He'd never seen her looking anything less than chic.
"I'm sorry to call without warning."
He had always been careful to avoid walking in on any of her lovers. She smiled dryly.
"There's nobody else here. Come in, Louis."
He walked into the apartment. Nothing seemed to have changed since his last visit, or indeed for many years. The furniture and furnishings, like the apartment lease, had belonged to Simone's mother and had been passed on intact when she had died. He'd got on well with his mother-in-law. Rather better, it had to be said, than with his wife.
"A drink, Louis?"
"Certainly."
While she went into the kitchen, he lit a cigarette and stood looking out of the half-open window at the street below. A middle-aged man and woman were feverishly loading suitcases and boxes and bags into the Citroën, piling them to the roof. The woman scurried back indoors and came running out again, carrying a wicker basket in her arms that emitted furious cat-yowls. The door slammed and the car went off fast down the street, skidding round the corner as though pursued by a pack of panzers. He turned away from the window and caught a glimpse of himself, reflected in the big, gilt-framed mirror over the mantelpiece. He looked rather worse than usual, he thought, passing a hand over his uncombed hair. A poor specimen of humanity in a creased linen suit, overweight and out of condition. Too much drink, too many cigarettes, too much food, too little sleep, and probably too many women.